Teresa Walker joins us now. Uh-oh. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, we've been talking a whole lot of Preds. And in the first game, they got outshot, they got out-hit, they got outplayed. They really got out everything by Carolina. Everything.
Hey, the first 20 minutes started fine. And even after the Hurricanes kind of dominated that second period, you know, they still went into that third period tied 2-2. That's when the wheels kind of fell off the cart. So I have to admit, I'm very curious. You know, John Hines, a lot of talk last night and today about, you know, guys needing to play better. So at this point, you know, I'm curious to see if he does make some line changes. It's been pointed out that two of their top five goal scorers were actually sidelined last night, scratched, Ailey Tolvanen and Rocco Grimaldi. And, you know, or is he just going to, you know, does he change out a couple people, or does he just simply tell these guys play better? Listening, you know, seeing some of his comments from today, you know, I think he may be leaning on the play better portion. And, you know, and I know Predator fans don't like to hear this stat. We're going to see. There's always a first time for everything, right? And right now the Predators are 0-11 in series when they drop game one. So, you know, if you're looking at that stat, you're probably pretty depressed today.
Mm. With Teresa Walker with the Associated Press talking really all things sports in Tennessee. She covers all of it.
Well, I guess since we were talking about Matt Duchene, what were you thinking when you saw, I guess, the minutes played and then the contribution?
Well, Blaine, you're right. I mean, I thought maybe he played a few more minutes, but, you know, he did have a really nice pass to set up a goal, which, you know, it was a really nice pass there. But you've got to have more than one assist. He's getting $8 million a year. Ryan Johansson, you know, he had his moments, but, you know, again, $8 million a year. You know, so, you know, John Hines actually has a point when he says that, you know, there are guys on that team where, you know, for all the guys, and how long have we heard it, you know, at least since 2018, keep us together, keep us together. There are 10 players on this roster who were part of their run to the Cup in 2017. And a couple of these guys are getting really big money, and Johansson and Duchene, who was signed a couple years ago. It is now time to see, you know, show it, you know, show that why you were brought in here and understand what is going on. So, I just want to see, you know, Duchene is a guy that, I mean, he's on the top of my list for, you know, to be exposed to the Kraken and pray that they take him off your hands this summer. But right now, you know, he needs to give everybody a reason to want him playing this next season.
Well, with Teresa Walker, AP and Hall of Fame writer, I guess, if they make some lineup changes, because it seems like they need to at least, especially with the speed portion of it, who do you think can provide that?
Well, first off, my mind, Tolvanen and Grimaldi. I mean, you know, in that second and third period, you know, we saw the Hurricanes kind of match the Predators' physicality. You know, they had, you know, four members of the herd line in the lineup last night. Gudbrandsen on defense, Harper, you know, they went with size, it seemed, last night. Well, Tolvanen and Grimaldi, particularly Grimaldi, I mean, guys, remember that goal a week ago on that Monday night where he got the first of the game, you know, just racing up the ice? If, you know, they need to match some of the Hurricane speed, and, you know, those are two players who absolutely can do it. I mean, does Fabro get a shot into the lineup? I mean, you know, he's a guy, he's smaller in size. I mean, you know, it's easy to look at why you would take Gudbrandsen last night over Fabro. You know, you're talking about 5-6 inches and, you know, maybe 30 pounds. So, you know, that's an easy decision to kind of make. But, you know, those are three off the top of my head. But, you know, you need goals to win, and you know, you got to score them in the postseason to win. And, you know, that's why I'm, you know, Tolvanen, you know, look at what they didn't have a, you know, they didn't get a point on the power play last night. Tolvanen's got, what, 6 goals this year on the power play? So that's one way you could easily, quickly juice up your play right there.
How do you think this team is going to respond to losing this game? You know, because that really tells you who they really are, and we really don't know this year's team what they really are, do we?
Well, we know what they were in the regular season, and in the regular season, they won 20 of their final 28 games. You know, if you can do that in the postseason, you're going to be going quite a long way. Now, you know, the problem is they're playing the best of the best. You know, Carolina not only won the division, they were in the chase for the President's Trophy until the final week. Can they step up their game to meet that? You know, there's a lot of talk, we've got another level. Well, let's see it. We need to see it. You know, the problem is Carolina might have an extra level as well. They played a handful of guys last night that made their playoff debut in the NHL, and they managed to help come out with a 5-2 win. So, you know, I want to know, Blaine. I think we're all going to find out what this team is. You know, there's a lot of panic after last night. It's like, yeah, they should have just went full blown into the rebuilding, you know, get rid of some of these high paid guys, just start over and tear it down now. I don't want to go into a first round series and, you know, and just lose again. You know, well, making the playoffs is tough. It's not easy. There is a challenge. There is some merit to making that 7 straight times. But, you know, is this the team that, you know, turned things around, seemed to just absolutely buy into John Hines' system and do, you know, and play the way he was asking them to play? Well, if that team shows up, then, yeah, they absolutely have a chance to end this series. You know, I said yesterday, you know, talking with the J. Martin Ramon, I kind of took the Predators in 6. And then I watched last night's game, and I'm like, ooh, this could be the first sweep in Predators postseason history. So I am count me among those needing to see what they do next so that we can – we don't know about this team yet. We really don't.
Well, with Teresa Walker, AP and Hall of Fame writer.
T, let's get into let's take our skates off and put on our cleats. Let's get into rookie minicamp a little bit. You were out there. You got to look around, work on your tan a little bit here this spring. What did you like that you saw with the Titans rookies on the field this past weekend?
Well, Mickey, I'm going to be honest that they were on the field for a rookie minicamp. We didn't have this last year. The Titans didn't have it. It was all virtual. And when you look at how little production they got or contributions from their rookie class last year, you know, the demise of Isaiah Wilson, you know, who knows what might have happened if they had been able to have a rookie minicamp and get around those guys and get them in the building. So, you know, they were there. Rashad Weaver getting some individual instruction from, you know, Mike Vrabel. You know, Des Fitzpatrick, man, Kalijah Lipscomb was kind of struggling with one of the one-on-one drills they had him doing, you know, trying to turn with a pad in your face, try to catch a ball and then stiff arm a ball. You know, Lipscomb really struggled with that. Des Fitzpatrick did once, and then he seemed to really click into that drill and start catching the ball. So that impressed me for sure.
And Des Fitzpatrick, they did their drills right next to us, you know, unsavory media types. Some of them were on a middle field or further away. Hey, man, 6'2", 200-plus pounds. I mean, that dude looks the part, and we know that he can run a little bit. And, you know, he talked about being on rope drills and ladders since he was 6 years old. He needs to play quickly, and he needs to contribute. But what little bit we got to see, I think, made a lot of people feel better about all that.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, a lot of people, I saw one national writer, you know, pick the Titans to miss the playoffs this year because, you know, they've had a lot of losses, you know, brain drain at coordinators, you know, that defense. That's like, I guess he missed the memo that this defense actually has been pretty well, you know, changed out for parts. You know, that's the thing. You know, you just don't know. Is Des Fitzpatrick, Josh Reynolds, the guys who are going to help replace Corey Davis? You know, after Saturday, feeling a little bit better that that's an absolute positive situation there. You know, just because you don't know the names doesn't mean that they haven't found some guys to help, you know, fill the guys who've left. So, yeah, watching him, I can't wait to start when we get a chance to finally see him catch some balls from, yeah, that guy named Ryan Tannehill. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
No doubt. Teresa Walker joins Blaine and Mickey here on 104.5 The Zone at Teresa M. Walker on Twitter.
Well, T, you were out there, I guess, watching the Titans practice. How much do you get out of watching them when it's not really a lot of players out there, I guess, to really evaluate, because some of it's kind of walkthrough, some of it's kind of instructions, some of it's kind of more position related as far as skill sets. So what do you really get out of it besides, you know, putting some eyeballs on, you know, some undrafted and drafted players?
Well, Blaine, it's probably, you know, see what these kids can do, you know, because it's different. They're, you know, they've got new coaches. Yeah. It's everything's new, you know, and just see how they react. And then secondly, it mostly getting used to these new numbers. You know, so I look at a 24 and I'm like, wait a minute, wait, that was Vaccaro. I go back now, this will be my 25th season. You know, I see 23 out there, Blaine. I'm thinking of you sometimes. Yep. So, getting the new numbers down is a huge key, I think, for especially for people like me. But just getting used to them and you know, trying to figure out who is who, because, you know, it's one thing to hear their names drafted, it's, you know, another to talk to them on Zoom, but to see them on the field, you know, yeah, we're not coaches, but it still helps to see them because you can start getting a feel for what they might be asked to do.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. You know, I'm watching social media. I didn't see anything, you know, maybe I wasn't expected to, but with Molden, you know, I really wanted to see him. I knew Farley wasn't going to be out there, especially wearing my number. But, Molden wasn't out there. I was a little disappointed. I saw B-squared Breeze. I'm looking for those DBs, though. They ain't ever talking about DBs till you get burnt.
Well, that's your heart, man. But, and what Vrabel did tell us that is it was if they were issuing injury reports, you know, he would have been limited, that he did come out late. I will admit I missed the last couple of periods because, well, you know, they're doing a lot of construction over there. They had, you know, a couple tables and chairs for us media to work on and do those Zooms post-practice. But, you know, it was nice and beautiful sunny day. I relocated to my car, cranked the windows down, and pulled my laptop out there and worked there. So, I didn't see Molden come out onto the field. So, but, you know, it is early. And, again, they got a rookie mini camp that they did not get last year. Huge, huge, huge for them and, you know, for the entire NFL to get these rookies. But more so for the Titans because of what they didn't get out of their rookies last year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's how you became an AP Hall of Fame writer, yeah, right? Getting in your car. Man, I know you guys talked about the schedule a little bit, but, man, when I saw the schedule, oh, man, that's a tough schedule. What did you think about when you saw the schedule? Because I think about quarterbacks and who they play. They play quarterback in that schedule, and, man, I thought they got the raw end of the stick of this one.
Well, it's interesting. They get two games in each month, September, October, November, December, at home. But, yeah, that stretch that starts with the Bills, I mean, you think about that, a Monday nighter against the Bills, and, you know, and then you get the Chiefs coming in the very next week. It's, you know, and they've got Indy early. It's not easy. But you know what? We knew it wasn't going to be that easy. They won the division last year. That means you're going to get the best and the brightest of last season. That said, you know, think about this. You know, by the time they play the Niners on Thursday night before Christmas, we could be looking at Trey Lance at quarterback for the Niners. You know, they go to the Jets. Well, that could be Zach Wilson. So they could end up playing four of those rookie quarterbacks this year. So that's not a bad thing. Then we also know what Jacksonville and Houston are doing, and that's rebuild city. So they're going to have a chances in those games. But yeah, you're right. They're going to have to show what they can do against the best of the NFL. But you know, if you want to be an NFL Super Bowl contender, you're going to have to beat some of those guys. And the best part is they do get the Bills, the Chiefs at home. They got to go to Pittsburgh, but you know what? That's in December, and you know we saw how rough Ben Roethlisberger looked this last December. So you know, the fun part about this. It's going to be a fun schedule. I mean, three primetime games, and, you know, if the Titans can take advantage and get some wins against some of those teams, Blaine, they might just get flexed into another game or two.
Ooh, and that would be nice, especially, you know, the fans get riled up about all these national televised games the Titans don't get.
Well, I know, but you know what? What matters is getting into the playoffs and moving from there.
Yeah, you're right.
No doubt. All right, Teresa, before we let you go, Teresa Walker, our guest, you covered all the Titans games. Today is Vince Young's 38th birthday. Yeah. D.Y. is 38 years old today.
Happy B-Day.
What is your favorite Vince Young memory from his time?
Whoa.
Well, on the field, it's going to be the game against the Giants. You know, yes, Pac-Man Jones made some plays to set him up for that, but, you know, was it Matthias Kianuka who should have just sacked Vince and throw him on the ground? Instead, Vince escapes and makes a nice pass down the field and, you know, helps him. I mean, guys, that was a huge comeback in that game for that team. One of the best, you know, it was biggest since, you know, some guy named John Elway at the time. So I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to not think about the game where his final game where he walked off the field and, threw his equipment up into the stands.
Exactly.
Yeah, to Donnie Mack's family, I believe. I think Donnie Mack's wife, I think Kathy, caught his shoulder pads.
Isn't that a lucky thing? And that was the thing. Afterwards, he said he's throwing it to somebody with the team, and kind of was. So,
Teresa, thank you. I know you got Grizzlies coverage and everything else going on today. We appreciate the time, as always, from the Hall of Famer.
My pleasure. Always fun to talk with you both.
Appreciate it, T.